to say hello to everybody. It's good to see each and every one that has chosen to come out and to be here this evening. It is always a wonderful time to be able to come out and to worship and serve our God. And this gospel meeting is, of course, no different. Anytime that we get a chance to take a break in the middle of the week and to come out and get away from the world that we have to live in is always a good time to get out and be with other Christians. Maybe a little fact that I haven't told anybody from being here so far this week is that my grandpa on my mom's side that was here on Sunday, when he retired from Caterpillar, he was a gospel preacher. And so I guess if anybody asks, where did you kind of get the idea to be a preacher? Well, maybe the apple didn't fall that far from the tree. And so it actually is in my family, and I know quite a few gospel preachers, young and old alike, that I just admire and have so much respect for. And for me personally, to be able to come and to hold a meeting someplace, it almost feels surreal, you know, that I don't know if I qualify, you know, in with a lot of those guys. And so I'm always, of course, grateful to have been here this week. As was mentioned, we have been trying to do a theme of marks of spring. And so maybe your marks of spring might not be like mine. And so tonight's lesson, when I was thinking about things that come to mind in spring, one of the first things that I thought about was back when I was in high school. And so when the winter time was about over, in which I grew up in Illinois, and so we actually had a seasons then, instead of like in Tennessee. And so when winter was over, springtime. And I wasn't very good at baseball or basketball or anything like that. Track, that was my thing. And so couldn't wait just for that weather to break where you get out there and start practicing track, start running. And my senior year, I just knew I was going to go to state. I started early. I started through the summer, all the way through the winter. Track season came. And when I missed my high school graduation for running regionals. And I missed going to state by 0.3 of a second. 0.3. And so that was always one of my things that I like to do. Since staying with Brandon and Casey, I know that they go running. I don't know how much they like running. I know they go running. Mr. Smith back there, you might not know, but he used to be a marathoner. Mr. Emmett, he used to be a marathon runner. And so that's one of the things that I think about marks of spring. And so we see this kind of language used in the Bible, mostly by the Apostle Paul. We do have some of these, like this one here in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And so we want to think about running in a race. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 9 and in verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." And so when we think about our spiritual life, and we think of this Christian life as being a race, The Apostle Paul says, you run that race trying to win, trying to reach that goal in the end. And when you read these scriptures, you might get the impression that the goal of Christianity is to rush to the finish line. Because that's what you do, like in high school. You run this as hard, as fast as you can to beat the other person. Well, that's what we see in our secular lives. To see who can get there first, to determine who the fastest runner is, or who can get there the quickest. But when you look at it that way, it almost sounds like the point of Christianity is to outperform everybody else, so that you can get to the pearly gates the fastest. But that's not true. The truth is, this race isn't about determining who's the fastest, the strongest, the most righteous. It's about something completely different. I found this article thing here a long time ago. I know you can't read it. And I tried my best to figure out how to get it to, like, zoom in and out for you, but I couldn't figure it out. But the ancient Greeks had several different kinds of races in the early Olympic Games. And so I separated them out over here on this. If there's any Greek scholars in the audience this evening, I apologize, because I do not know what these names are. Or how to pronounce them correctly. And so what we see is that they had these traditional foot races. We've all seen the Olympics probably on TV. And so that is, of course, where we got that idea from the ancient Greek people. One of the other races that you can see here, this stretch strad, is a short-distance race, maybe something like our 100-meter dash or something. Another one of them that we see here is this, the Lochos, and it's a long-distance race. I'm not sure how long is long. For some people, you know, a mile might be long, or 5 miles might be long. So I'm not sure. This Sonorous was a chariot race. And then they even had races where they would wore their military armor. And that is what this one is right here. But the one that I want for us to pay attention to is this most unique race. And it's this right here. Lampadromia. I don't know. Where runners run at night with a torch and they pass it like a baton. What made this race so unique was that the winner was not the runner who finished first, but the runner who finished with his torch still lit. And so I believe that is the race that is set before each and every one of us. It's not to get to the finish line and beat all the rest of the Christians out there. The race that is set before us is a race of endurance. And it is a race to where we want to have our torches still lit when we get to the end. And so, this evening, I asked the question, who are the runners? And so when I think about who the runners are, I want to suggest to you that The runners are those who obeyed the gospel. Those who are willing to obey the gospel. You know, there's a lot of people out there. We run into them at our jobs. We run into them at other events, maybe that we go to, maybe friends or family. And you may have talked to them about the gospel, but they just refuse to listen, to take any kind of initiative, and they just won't study the Bible. And they for sure won't obey the gospel. And so the runners are going to be those who make that choice to start the race. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5, it says, "And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules." And so, you not only have to start the race, you have to compete in that race according to the rules. And when we think about obeying the gospel, what might be some of the rules for obeying the gospel? Well, Jesus tells us in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Well, that seems like a pretty easy rule, isn't it? What the problem that we have normally is, though, is that when we start showing people Jesus' commandments, then sometimes they back up on us. And so we see in Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16, as Jesus gave the Great Commission and he sent out his apostles, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So we see here in this verse that those who believe and is baptized will be saved. Those are the runners. Those are the ones that are willing to start the race. They're willing to pick up that torch and start on that race. What we see in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 6 through 9, those who choose not to do that, those that they just won't start the race, in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul said, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who," what? "Do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." How important it is that we obey the gospel. In 1 Peter 1 and verses 22 and 23, 1 Peter 1 and verses 22 and 23, Peter, writing here to these, he says, "Since you have purified your souls," how did they purify their soul? He says here, "in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." These here, Peter says, purified their soul in obeying the gospel by being born again through the instructions of the word of God, which lives and abides forever. No matter what people try to do to God's word, it's not going anywhere. You can either choose to obey it, or you choose to never obey it. There really is only just two choices. The Apostle Paul, he was a runner, but he didn't start out that way. And so, those of us that know the life history of the Apostle Paul, at the beginning of his life, he was, he says, a Pharisee of a Pharisee. He was someone who completely opposed the teaching of Christ. But he seemed better. And as he became one of the great gospel preachers, writing to those in Corinth, there in 1 Corinthians 9 and in verses 25 through 26. 1 Corinthians 9 and verses 25 through 26. He says, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." He says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." As Paul makes this connection of a physical race to spiritual life, he says, they run in a race, like the races that we had up there on the first charts. And they run for this imperishable crown. For, like, we think about the Olympics, and you get a gold or silver or a bronze medal. But we, as Christians, we run in a race looking for that imperishable crown, for that eternal home in heaven. And Paul says, he says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." He wanted to make sure that he was succeeding in this race, or in this battle. And that's where we need to be at in our Christian life. We might ask the question, when exactly was it that Paul became a runner? Well, if you want to write it down, of course, Acts chapter 9. But Paul recounts his story in Acts 22 and in Acts 26. But in Acts 22 and in verses 12 through 16, in Acts 22 and verses 12 through 16, it says, "Then a certain Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who go up there, came to me," this is Paul speaking, "and he stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that same hour, I looked up at him, and he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all the men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.'" God had a job for Paul to do. And Paul became a great runner in this Christian race. A great runner that, as we look throughout the rest of our lesson here this evening, that you will see that he was. And that is exactly where we want to be. The second thing that I thought about is that the runners are those who continue in the faith. If you can kind of see my picture up here. And so, if you can't see it very good, you can kind of see some heels, and you can kind of see that my character is kind of pudgy. And when we have a determination, we will continue to fight or to compete and finish no matter what our state is or no matter what comes our way. And so we must continue. In Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 23, Colossians 1 and in verse 23, it says, "If indeed you," what? "Continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And so as he's talking here to those here in Colossae, he says, if indeed you continue in the faith, so continuing, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the gospel. How many people have we known in our lives that started out in the race, but something changed? And the gospel departed from their life. And eventually they completely fell away from the church and from God and Jesus Christ and all the way back onto the world of sin. We have to contend for this faith. There in 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 16, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, Paul tells Timothy, take heed to yourself. What is that? Give attention to. Give careful attention to, Timothy, to yourself, take heed to yourself, and to the what? The doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. If we depart from the gospel, if we don't continue in the faith, then the opposite is all that is left to happen. If we're not going to save ourselves, staying in the gospel, we only other choice we have is to be lost eternally. In Revelation 2 and verse 10, this is a verse that we use a lot of times at the close of our lesson to remain faithful until death. And as we study the book of Revelation, especially starting out in chapters 1 and 2, we see the great persecution that was taking place or soon to take place on these Christians. And John here, through inspiration, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. The stress that we always put on this is to be faithful. Got to continue in our faith. Continue down that path to heaven. The Apostle Paul, writing to those there in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Philippians 3 and verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul faced a lot of different troubles and tribulations, in and out of prison, beaten with rods, shipwrecked, multiple different kind of things for the sake of Jesus Christ. And through all of this, no matter what he went through, he says, I press toward the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so, those who are the runners are those who will continue in the faith. And they won't let anything stop them or get in their way. Another thing that I thought about is that the runners are those who love the Lord and His truth. And this really goes along, falls right in line with the rest of the ones we've been talking about. If we don't obey the gospel, if we don't continue in the faith, there's probably a pretty good chance that we don't love the Lord and we don't love the truth. And Jesus, he stresses how important this is. In Matthew 22 and in verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God just a little bit. No, no. He said, with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. I put this runner up here, and if you're a runner, more than likely, you love it. Most people don't take up running just to have something to do. You've got to have a love for it. If you don't love running, pretty soon you'll quit. You'll find something else to do. You'll find a different hobby to work on. And so you've really got to love it. Jesus, as he's talking in John chapter 14, and starting there in verse 15, John 14 and in verse 15, Jesus, he is soon to depart from his disciples and go back to heaven. And he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you, and I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest himself to him. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. How many times there in that set of readings there did we see Jesus talking about loving him, loving the Father, loving the Word, keeping that love within us? If we are going to make it into heaven, it's going to be because we love the Lord and we love the truth. If we don't, we're going to find something else to do, just like being a runner. In 1 John 2 and verses 3 through 5, 1 John 2 and verses 3 through 5, John, he writes, now by this we know that we know him. How do we know him? If we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is what? Perfected in him. By this we know we are in him. Those who love the truth, those who love God and love Jesus Christ, who are trying to be the very best, complete Christian that we can be, we are the runners. The fourth thing that I thought about in this, those are the runners, or those who love the brotherhood. In 1 Peter 2 and in verse 17, the Apostle Peter simply says, 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, Fear God, honor the King. Unfortunately, I have been places and been at places where there seemed to be a skiff in the congregation. And you can almost sometimes feel that tension when brothers and sisters from one side of the building to the other side of the building don't get along. I'm sure there are some here this evening that have experienced such a same thing. Yet, we still want to say, yep, I'm doing good. Yep, I'm going to heaven. Yep, doing all right. Those who love the brotherhood are those who are the runners. If we don't love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, who do we love? This is our family. And me and Brandon were talking earlier today, and both of us, when we go on vacation, we hunt up a congregation where to visit. And we want to go and spend time, meet new people, meet other congregations, go and support the work that they're doing there. And this is our family. You can be here in Kentucky. I can be in Tennessee. I might travel to Pennsylvania or Texas, Arkansas, and we can find a group of true Christians and meet together as God's chosen people, who are all runners. But we've got to love the brotherhood. In 1 John 2 and in verses 10 and 11, 1 John 2 and verses 10 and 11, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. As Christians, we want to spend eternity in heaven. And don't we want to spend it with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ? In 1 John 3 and verse 23, John writes there in 1 John 3 and verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and what? Love one another as he gave us commandment. It's not a suggestion that we get to pick and choose which brethren that we love. It's a command that we love them. In 1 John 4 and verse 21, 1 John 4 and verse 21, just the next chapter over, John says, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must, love his brother also. How important it is that we love our brethren. Peter, he writes, 1 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. 1 Peter 1, verses 5 through 8. This is a list. Of course, everything on this list is good for Christians to have and put into their lives. But he says, but also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that list of all the things that he lists there, and two of those things that he lists there have to do with loving each other, loving the brethren. And so, as we said earlier, we're not trying to beat each other to the finish line. We're trying to get to the finish line with our torch still lit. And who better to help us than our family? The fifth thing that I thought about, the runners are those who attempt to bring others to Christ. I got this picture up here, and if you've ever seen a track meet or maybe watched the Olympics, sometimes you have the race where you change hands with a baton. And so it's a team effort. And so, another little story, my team effort, the same day that we were running regionals, I disqualified my whole team. Accidentally, of course, but I jumped the starter gun twice. Not just once, twice. And I disqualified the whole team. It didn't just affect me. It affected all of them. As Christians, we want to bring others to Christ. We want to bring others to heaven with us. And much like a relay, sometimes it's a team effort. There in 2 Timothy 2, and in verses 1 and 2, 2 Timothy 2 and verses 1 and 2, Paul writing there to Timothy, he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So the instructions here that Paul left Timothy, he said, the things you heard from me. So all of the things that Paul had been preaching about through inspiration, that Timothy had accompanied him with, take all of those things, he said, and then commit these to faithful men, teach them so that they can teach more. If we would all just bring one person, and then that person brings a person, how quickly could we add people to Jesus Christ? We have to be willing to teach what we know. Now, I understand that a lot of people, they're not good personable people. I would put myself in that category probably as well. I'm not overly talkative, usually. But all of us that are Christians can at least tell someone how to become a Christian. And if you don't have those verses available, get with me or Brandon or one of the elders, and we'll be glad to give you all of those verses if you need to, that you can teach someone else the gospel. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 5 and in verses 12 through 14, you can kind of see his frustration here. And he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." we can at least tell someone about Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 4, in the first part of the first century, the Christians were scattered all across the countryside due to persecution. But you know that persecution didn't affect their spreading of the gospel. It actually increased it. In Acts 8 and verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. You know that the whole Bible, all the word, was complete. And it was spread throughout the whole country without the internet, without a TV, without the radio, simply by word of mouth. By Christians spreading the gospel. And so, those who are runners are those who are going to attempt and to do their best to bring others to Christ. The last one that I thought about is that the runners are those who walk according to the truth. You see my picture up here, and I got this picture, just found the straightest one I could find. Because sometimes when you're in a race, you are not allowed to change lanes. You must stay the course. You can't veer off to the left or to the right. You can't jump over in front of somebody. And you just have to stay in your lane. And as Christians, we have the Word of God. And if we want to go to heaven, then we can't veer off from the left or from the right. We have to stay the course that is the Word of God. In Ephesians 5 and verses 15 and 16, Ephesians 5 and verses 15 and 16, he said, see then that you walk circumspectly. Thayer says that circumspectly means exactly, accurately, diligently. So he says, walk exactly, or walk accurately, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's a lot of things out there in the world that can get in our way. But we have to stay the course. We have to keep God's word at the forefront of our hearts and our minds so that we can stay on track. In 1 John 1 and in verses 6 and 7, in 1 John 1 verses 6 and 7, John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. When we get off of the course, we veer over into the dark. And when we veer over into the dark, more than likely, we're going to become lost. Or we're going to fall completely off of a cliff. Christ is our light. The Word of God is our light. And so, if we want to keep the light on, keep the path lit, we've got to keep the Word of God in our life. In 3 John in verse 4, 3 John in verse 4, John, he said here, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What a wonderful feeling to have a to have like John to see a group and to not have these worries of, well, how many have remained faithful? How many still there? He says, no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In Romans 8 and verse 1, Paul says, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. As we talked about earlier in the week, we've got to put all of these fleshly, worldly things out of our life. And we just focus on spiritual things. And you know, that will make our path so much easier to walk. 1 John 2 and verses 5 and 6. 1 John 2 and verses 5 and 6. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. That's our goal. To walk just as Christ walked. To walk that path, that straight and narrow. To live our lives in such a way that heaven can be our home. Our goal is to finish life with our torches still lit for Jesus Christ. It's not enough to just have my torch burning for a few weeks or a few months or a few years and then allow that flame to go out. In fact, if we leave this world with an unlit torch, I'm putting my soul's salvation in serious jeopardy. I have to keep the torch lit for the entire race so that we can reach the goal of heaven. The Apostle Paul, he understood this. There in 2 Timothy 4 and verses 6 through 8, 2 Timothy 4 and verses 6 through 8, as his life is drawing to a close, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who loved his appearing." So, this evening, I hope that we have all been able to see that what it takes, what we need to be successful runners. And that we need to run to keep our torch lit all the way to the end of the line. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, in order to get qualified for this Christian race of a lifetime, you must hear the gospel. You must believe in Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then we must remain faithful until death. The Apostle Paul was confident in his race as it drew to a close. I think that if we live that kind of life, we too should be able to have that kind of confidence. If you have started this race, but you've let your torch go out, I'd encourage you this evening to get back in the race. Make correction in your life before it's too late. If there's anyone here this evening that needs to heed the invitation, you can do so as we stand and sing a song that's been selected.